Brothers and sisters, we're continuing our sermon series this morning in the Gospel of Mark. And this morning we're looking at Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. You'll find this on page 1067 in your pew Bible, 1067. In Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, hear the word of our God. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was gone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And those are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. And then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Again, this is the word of our God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing on the preaching of his word. Our Father, we know that we need to hear your word. And this is what we're gathered to do this morning. But Father, we know not only that we need to hear your word, we know that we need you to give us ears to receive it, hearts, Lord, to believe it. And Father, this is what we pray for. We know, Father, that we cannot bear fruit to eternal life. We cannot reflect the character of Christ unless you plant your word in our hearts. And Father, we pray that you might do this work in our midst this morning by your Spirit. We plead for it. We ask you to have mercy upon us. We ask that you would send forth your word in power. And we ask that you would give us ears to hear it, as Jesus says in this parable, and that you would give us hearts to receive it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I wonder if you have ever thought about this question. Why is it that we don't see greater fruit or a greater effect from the preaching of the Word of God in our circles in our day? Think about that for a minute. Why don't we see more conversions, more people flocking to our churches, more lives changed by the preaching of God's Word? I think it's easy to fall into thinking in our day that the reason for this is simply because the world has changed. People are not interested in religion in our day. Because our mission field, you see, is so difficult here in the Western world, this is the reason that we don't see more fruit from the preaching of God's word in our day. And brothers and sisters, I don't think that argument really holds water. Think about it. Certainly the world of the first century was an equally or even more difficult mission field than the world that we have today, and yet the preaching of the gospel bore much fruit. The same has been true of many other periods of history. And this leaves us with this question: why don't we see more of this fruit from the preaching of the Word of God in our day? And I wonder sometimes if the reason for this, the reason that we don't see more of this fruit from the preaching of the Word of God, is because we don't believe in the power of the Word of God and our need for the Word of God in the way that we should. And when I say that, I include myself in this as well. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I am sure that many of us here today would confess our belief in the authority of Scripture and in the power of the Word of God. But what I hope you understand is that sadly, it is often the case in the church that there is a great difference between what we confess with our lips and what we confess with our lives. So what I'm saying is not that we don't confess as a church in our belief in the authority of Scripture or the power of the Word of God. What I'm asking is, do we really believe it in our day? Do our lives really show that we believe in the power of the Word of God? I have recently been reading about the 20th century preacher, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And what stands out about his ministry, I think what made his ministry so effective in the saving of so many people, was his almost unshakable belief in the power of the Word of God, and particularly in the power of the preached word. At the beginning of his book, Preaching and Preachers, he says this. He says, "I would say without hesitation that the most urgent need in the Christian church today is true preaching. And as it is the greatest and most urgent need in the church, it is obviously the greatest need," he says, "of the world also." Think about that for a minute. I wonder, do we really think this way today? Do we really think that the greatest need we have and the greatest need that the world has is to hear the preaching of the Word of God? Do you think about that in your own life? That the greatest need that you actually have is to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Martin Lloyd-Jones also said this. He said that we should expect the power of God in the preaching of His Word. He said that we should not only pray for it, of course we should do that, but he said we should not only pray for the power of God in the preaching of His Word, he said that we should expect it. That we should expect that when the Word of God is preached, that lives will be changed by the power of God. And again, I wonder, do we have this attitude towards God's Word in our day? Do you come to church expecting that your life will be changed by the preaching of the Word of God? This is the question. Do we believe, do we truly believe in the power of the Word of God? And brothers and sisters, I ask this very important question this morning because we come this morning in our study of the Gospel of Mark to Mark chapter 4, where Jesus tells us the parable of the sower. This is one of Jesus' most well-known parables out of all of the parables that he tells. And it's a parable that's not meant to teach us about seed and about soil and about the means of growing crops. It's a parable that's meant to teach us about the power of the Word of God and about our need to hear the Word of God and to believe that word. This is a parable that has much to teach us, and I think it's a parable that we need to pay attention to in our day. In some sense, we need to revisit the parable of the sower. Even if you are here today and you have heard this parable many times, you need to revisit what Jesus has to say to us in this parable. There are truths here that we need to hear as the church in our day. Jesus' parable, the parable of the sower, goes like this. Jesus tells us about a farmer or a sower who went out to sow the seed for his crops. And he says that as he did this, the seed fell on four different kinds of soil. Some, Jesus says, fell on the path. This was probably the soil that would be on the edge, you see, of the farmer's field. It was the soil where people walked. And because people walked on the soil, it would become so packed down that when the seed landed on the soil, it couldn't even penetrate into the soil. So it would just sit on top of the soil. And Jesus says, because of this, the birds would simply come and eat the seed up, you see, and it would bear no fruit.
But Jesus says that other seed, you see, fell on rocky ground. This is soil that had, you see, very little depth. It was very shallow. Just below the surface of the soil, there were all kinds of rocks so that any plants that grew in the soil, you see, couldn't really develop deep roots. And what would happen is that the plants would come up, but when the sun would come out in the heat of the day, of course, because they had no root and because the soil couldn't really retain any moisture, the plants, you see, would simply wither and die. And Jesus says other seed fell among the thorns. These seeds would sprout. They also would grow. They would come up. But the problem was that weeds and thorns would come up with them. And they would choke the plants. You see, these weeds would take all the nutrients out of the soil. And again, these plants also would bear no fruit. But Jesus says that some of the seed actually fell on good soil. And that this seed produced a fruitful harvest. Jesus says even 30 or 60 or 100 times. He says, what was sown. And the point of Jesus' parable here, the point really of all of Jesus' parables, are to teach us spiritual truths. And you see, there's a number of fundamental truths that Jesus teaches here about salvation and about the role of his word in salvation that we need to hear this morning. And brothers and sisters, the first truth that Jesus teaches us in this parable is this, that God builds his kingdom through the preaching of his word. Let me say that again, that God builds his kingdom through the preaching of his word. Another way that we could say this from our perspective is to say that salvation comes through the hearing of the word of God. As I said earlier, Jesus' message here is not really about soil, and it's not about seeds, and it's not about farming. Jesus' message here is about the power of the word of God and about our need to hear that word. Jesus tells us in verse 14 in his explanation of this parable that the seed represents the word of God. This is the focus of this parable. The focus is on the word of God. What the sower sows here is God's holy word. And in Jesus' parable, what we need to understand is that the sower is God himself. You see, we could say that Jesus is the sower, and that would be true. This is what Jesus is actually doing here in Mark chapter 4. Even as he's teaching the people this parable, he's sowing, you see, the word of God. It would also be true to say that people can sow the word of God. Every time the word of God is preached, as it's being preached even at this very moment, you see, the word is being sown. But what we need to understand is that ultimately, you see, God is the sower. God is the one who calls us even to sow his word into the world. God is the one who sent Jesus, his own son, to bring his word to the world. God is the one who sends forth his word, and God is the one that makes that word effective, you see, for our salvation. And brothers and sisters, what I hope you understand is that this is what God has always been doing throughout all of redemptive history. God has been sowing his word into the world. This is what God does in his grace. He sends forth his word to accomplish his purposes in Christ. This is how God builds his kingdom. This is the means that God has chosen to use. He saves sinners by the power of his word. You see, what Jesus tells us in this parable is that it's the word of God that God sows into the world that has the power to produce a kingdom harvest. It's the word sown by God himself that has the power to produce new life. This is the means that God uses to accomplish his purposes. Think about it this way for a minute. Jesus came to this world to save us, right? But think about it. How did Jesus do that? Jesus didn't come with an army of angels. He didn't come with legions of angels to establish the kingdom of God by force. What did Jesus come? What did he do when he came? He came proclaiming the word of God. Think about the apostles and all the fruit they bore, how this church is built, the scripture says, on the teaching of the apostles. What did they do? They didn't come with weapons of war to establish the church and the kingdom of God. What were their weapons? It was the word of God. They simply proclaimed the word of God in the world, and the church was established, and the church grew. This is the means that God uses, you see, to build his kingdom. And brothers and sisters, we might ask the question, what is the word that Jesus speaks of here? What's the word that he sows into the world? What's this word that has the power to save? And the answer is that it's the message or the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ. The word of God declares to us that we are sinners, separated from God because of our sin. But the word of God actually declares that our situation is even worse than that. Not only are we separated from God because of our sin, as rebels against God, we are under his curse and we are under his wrath. So great is our guilt in God's eyes. And that left to ourselves, we will spend eternity in hell, you see, as the just punishment, you see, for our sin. But the gospel tells us, you see, that God, who is rich in mercy, loved us enough to send his only son, Jesus, to save us from our sins. That Christ actually came to this earth to suffer for us and to take our punishment so that we could be reconciled to God. And that if we repent of our sin, if we believe in Jesus, if we turn to the Lord, that instead of receiving his wrath, instead of receiving the eternal punishment of hell that we deserve for our sins, we can actually receive the reward that Jesus Christ purchased for us, even new and eternal life in the kingdom of God. And brothers and sisters, it is this message of salvation in Jesus Christ that God is always sowing into the world. And it's this message that Jesus is telling us here that has the power to bring sinners to salvation. It is the word of God that can break strongholds. It's the word of God that can set prisoners free. It's the word of God that can even take the thoughts of man and make them captive, you see, to Jesus Christ. Psalm 33 says this about the word of God in creation. It says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." Scripture is telling us that God created by the power of his word. He spoke, and the world came into existence. But what we need to understand is that what God did in creation, God also does in redemption. He not only creates by the power of his word, he also redeems by the power of his word. And this is pictured for us in Scripture nowhere like it is pictured in Ezekiel chapter 37. In Ezekiel chapter 37, God gives the prophet Ezekiel this great vision of a valley of dried bones. He looks out and what he sees is a valley filled with the dead bones of men and women who once lived, but this is all that's left of them is their dead and dried up bones. You know what the Lord says to the prophet Ezekiel? He tells him to speak his word to those dry bones. He says, "Prophesy my word to those dry bones." Do you know what happens? As Ezekiel speaks the word of the Lord, the bones come to life. Bones that had no flesh on them have suddenly flesh on them, and they rise up. And what Ezekiel sees in the place of all of these dead bones is he sees an army of living human beings. Brothers and sisters, it's a picture for us of how God works and how God saves. God saves us. He brings sinners from death to life by the power of his word. This is the means that God uses. It's the word of the gospel of Christ that is able to make us wise unto salvation. And this is the first great truth that Jesus teaches here in the parable of the sower, that God sows his word into the world. He has always been doing this, brothers and sisters. He is doing it even now. And by that word, God saves and he redeems and he builds his church. And brothers and sisters, this is what we so desperately need to believe in our day. We need to believe in the power of the word of God. I ask you, do you believe it? Do you believe that the word can transform your life? Do you believe that the word that God has given us has power even to bring hardened sinners to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the power of the Word of God. Well, brothers and sisters, as important as that truth is, that God uses His Word to build His kingdom, that we are saved by the hearing of the Word of God, there's another truth that Jesus teaches us in this parable that serves as a kind of warning to us. Even as Jesus tells us here about the power of God's Word, the second truth He teaches us is this, that it is possible to hear God's Word and yet gain nothing from it. Let me say that again. It is possible to hear God's Word and yet to gain nothing from it. Another way to say this is that it's possible for the Word of God to reach our ears, but not to actually reach our hearts. Or as Jesus puts it in this passage, it's possible to see and not perceive, or to hear and not understand. You see, it's possible to hear with our ears without really actually hearing at all. Sadly, this is what I do too often to my poor wife. I ask her a question. I ask her where something is in the house, and she begins to tell me, but I don't really listen to everything she's saying. I don't listen to all the details. I'm distracted. I'm thinking about something else, so I only listen to the first thing she tells me, that it's in such and such a room, right? And then I go to that room, and of course I can't find the thing because I didn't really listen to what she was telling me. And so then I'm calling her through the house, "Honey, where did you say that thing was?" She says, "Right where I told you, because you weren't really listening to me." This is the warning Jesus gives us here in this passage, that we can do the very same thing when it comes to the Word of God. We do the very same thing when it comes to the gospel. We hear it with our ears, but we don't really let it penetrate into our hearts, and so we remain in darkness. Brothers and sisters, if you think about the parable, this really is shown to be true. One of the things that stands out in this parable so clearly is that everyone in the parable hears the Word of God. It is not as if Jesus says to us in this parable, well, there's some people that hear and then others don't hear, and that's why they don't bear fruit, because they don't hear the Word of God at all. That's not what Jesus says. In the parable that He tells, everybody hears the Word of God. The seed falls on soil, all of the seed. Everyone hears the Word of God. This is what's actually going on in the context. Jesus is teaching the people from the boat. They're on the shore, and everyone is hearing the teaching of Jesus. Jesus is speaking to us who hear the Word of God. Everyone in Jesus' parable hears. But the warning that He gives to us is that there's only one group that actually hears and accepts the Word, that hears it, you see, with the heart. There's only one group where the Word goes from the ears actually to the heart and ends up, you see, bearing fruit. The idea here is that it's possible, you see, to hear the Word of God, the very Word that God sows into the world, the very Word that we've already seen has the power to save and transform. It's possible to hear that very Word and yet have it reap no lasting benefit in your life. Because while you're hearing it, in another sense, you're not really hearing it at all. You're not actually paying attention to it. And this was the state of many in the crowds in Jesus' day. Think of all the people that Jesus spoke the Word to. But so many really didn't hear it at all. And brothers and sisters, it's the state of so many in our day as well. And not just so many in the world. It's the state of many in the church as well. It's even possible to think that you're saved, to think that you're walking with Jesus because you're hearing the Word of God. You go to church, you hear the Word of God, but it never reaches, actually, you see, beyond your ears. What's so interesting here about what Jesus says in this parable, and it may even surprise us as Jesus says this, is that even while He's calling us here to listen, He's stressing here our responsibility to receive the Word of God and to believe it. At the very same time that Jesus is saying this, when He gets to verses 11 and 12, He tells us that God is actually sovereign over all of this, that it's God who gives us ears to hear the Word of God, and it's God who gives us hearts to receive it. You see, when Jesus' followers later come, when the crowds aren't there, and they begin to ask Jesus about the parable, Jesus says something very interesting to them. He says that God has given to them, He says, the secrets of the kingdom of God. In effect, what Jesus is saying to them is that the reason they actually pay attention and listen is because God has given them, you see, ears to hear. And Jesus follows this by saying something else that is hard, actually, for many people to accept. Jesus says, in effect, in verses 11 and 12, that his parables actually serve two purposes. You see, for those who have been given the ability to hear the word of God and to receive it by God himself, you see, parables actually help to teach spiritual truths. They teach us things about the kingdom of God that enable us to grow, you see, and to bear fruit. But Jesus says something rather shocking here. He says that for everyone else, Jesus actually speaks in parables as a form, you see, of judgment. That he speaks in parables actually to keep people in the dark. He says here that he actually speaks in parables so that people will hear, but they won't understand. They will see, and yet they won't perceive, lest, he says, they would turn to God and be forgiven. And the point that Jesus is making here is that God is sovereign over salvation. He opens the ears of some, but he does not open the ears of others. He gives the secrets of the kingdom of God to some, but he does not give the kingdom, the secrets of the kingdom of God to others. What Jesus is telling us is that apart from God's sovereign work in us, calling us out of sin, we would never hear the word of God. We would never receive it. We would never believe it. And we would never obey. It would go in one ear and it would go out the other. And if this is what Jesus is saying to us in verses 11 and 12, then it's very interesting what he's doing in this passage. He's stressing at the very same time here both the Bible's teaching about God's sovereignty over salvation as well as stressing the Bible's teaching about man's responsibility for all of his actions. You see, the Bible teaches us both of these things, that we are saved by God's election, by his choosing of us, and that there is no other way that we can be saved except by God calling us out of our sin. But at the very same time, the Bible teaches that we are responsible for all that we do. We must hear the word of God and receive it and believe it. And when we don't do this, when we reject the will of God, when we suppress the truth of God, we do this by our own will. And so we are guilty for this in the sight of God. Now, brothers and sisters, we can sometimes wonder how these two doctrines can be reconciled. The doctrine of God's sovereignty on the one hand and man's responsibility on the other. But brothers and sisters, the Bible doesn't actually try to reconcile those two doctrines. It simply presents both of them to us as being absolutely true. Charles Spurgeon was once asked that question. Someone came to him and asked him, "How do you reconcile the doctrine of God's sovereignty with the doctrine of man's responsibility?" You know how Charles Spurgeon answered that question? He said, "I never try to reconcile two friends." That's how the Bible presents it to us. It doesn't present these doctrines as being opposed to one another. It presents them both as being true. God is absolutely sovereign over everything, even salvation. He elects and he chooses and he opens the eyes of who and ears of who he chooses. But we are responsible as human beings for our actions. By our own will and choice, we reject and we suppress the word of God and refuse to hear what God has to say to us. And this is what Jesus stresses, even in this parable, and we see this in many passages of Scripture, in the very same passage, both of these doctrines, God's sovereignty, man's responsibility. Even as Jesus tells us here about the sovereignty of God, what he stresses in this parable is our responsibility to receive the word and to believe it. And Jesus does this by telling us about three kinds of soil that represent three different kinds of people. All of these people hear the word of God, and yet they gain nothing by it. They remain in the dark. There's no real change in their life. There's no fruit. And brothers and sisters, this is meant to serve as a great warning to us that we would not fall into this category. You see, Jesus teaches us here about those who represent the seed, you see, that falls on the path. They hear the word, but every time they hear the word, they let Satan immediately snatch it from them. They don't take the word of God seriously. They hear the word. They may sit in church week after week, but it never produces any real fruit in their life. It never produces a true fear of God. It never produces true sorrow over sin. It never produces true faith or a true love for Christ. And sadly, in this state, they may be lost forever. They may spend eternity in hell because they never believed the very word that they heard over and over and over again. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He then tells us about those who represent the seed that fell on the rocky soil. These people also hear the word, and different from those who are like the seed that fell on the path, they seem to receive the word with joy. It seems to begin to bear fruit in their life. There is an initial excitement about the gospel. They think it is good to be a Christian. But the problem they have is that they also never truly embrace Christ from the heart. And you see, when trials come, when the excitement of being a Christian wears off, when it comes to actually living like a Christian in the world, it becomes evident that they really have no true Christian fruit, that there has been no true change, you see, in their life. And then Jesus tells us about those who represent the seed that fell among the thorns. And brothers and sisters, I think in our day, there are many who fall into this group. They also seem to receive the word. They may even be active in the church. They seem to be bearing fruit. They seem to be sincere about wanting to be a Christian and about being the part of the body of Christ. But their treasure is not really Christ and his cross. You see, their heart is not really in love with Jesus. They're more interested in their career or in making money or in the fads of the world than in really serving Christ. And sadly, this can actually go on for years. They can sit in churches. They come fairly regularly. They can hear the word of God. But the things that they treasure actually keep them from Christ. The things that they treasure more than Christ keep them from actually bearing fruit, the fruit of the newness of life that only Christ, you see, can provide. And brothers and sisters, I say this to you this morning because it's the warning that Jesus gives us in this passage. There may be some here this morning, here in this church, who are in one of these categories. You may be here this morning, and you may actually be in one of these categories. You may have sat under the teaching of God's word for years. You may have heard it over and over again. You may have even grown up in the church, but the word of God has never actually reached beyond your ears. It has never really melted your heart. It's never really brought you to your knees in repentance. You have never really felt true sorrow over your sin before God. You have never really experienced that feeling of great joy in knowing that you are loved by Christ. You have never really experienced that delight that comes in living to the glory of God. You know about Jesus. You know about the Bible. You could probably recite the parable of the sower. You've heard it many times. But the question is, do you really know Jesus? Has his word really taken root in your heart? You see, Jesus gives us a most serious warning in this passage. I don't think that we tend to view the parable of the sower in this way. It's a nice parable that we've heard many times. It has the most serious warning in it. It is a matter of life and death. You see, what Jesus is saying is that if you are in one of these three categories, then this means that you are as far from God and his kingdom and is bound for hell as the person who never went to church, who refuses to hear the word of God, who is living a reckless life of sin and wants nothing to do with God at all. Jesus is saying it's actually possible to be in the same boat with that person and yet to have heard the word of God over and over again, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And brothers and sisters, if you don't believe that what I'm saying is actually true, I tell you this morning that I read recently even about a pastor's wife who was in this position. She came to realize that she was not actually a Christian at all. She had gone to church for decades. She had heard the word over and over again. Everybody viewed her as a Christian woman. She grew up, she married a Christian man, and he ended up going in the ministry, became a pastor. And they went to the first church that they were called to, and he began preaching. And in the first few years of his preaching ministry, under the ministry of his preaching, the preaching of her own husband, she came to realize that she was not actually a Christian at all. She had never really embraced Christ from the heart. She had never really repented of her sin. She had never understood the depth of her depravity. Everybody in the church viewed her as a Christian more than anybody else. She was the pastor's wife. She was serving. She was doing all kinds of things. And yet she came to realize she was not a Christian at all, and she gave her life to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is a most solemn warning that Jesus gives us in this parable. It's the second great truth that Jesus teaches us here. It's possible to hear the word of God and yet gain nothing from it. It's possible to be hearing the word of God over and over and yet to be lost forever, because that word never penetrated beyond your ears. You never truly embraced Christ from the heart. Well, brothers and sisters, this leads me then to the third and final great truth that Jesus teaches in this passage. We've touched on this a little bit already, but I think it's important for us to think about this before we close. The third truth that Jesus teaches us here is that the one who truly hears God's word and embraces it from the heart, this one will bear undeniable fruit. Jesus makes this so clear here. He tells us about a fourth kind of soil he calls the good soil, which represents the heart that accepts and believes the word of God. And what he teaches is that when the seed of God's word is planted in that heart, it will bear fruit. It will bear great fruit. It will bear the fruit, you see, of a new life. You see, this is what Jesus himself has made possible for us by his death and resurrection. It's what God does for us by his grace. He plants his word in our hearts. And by that word, he produces in us the fruit of repentance and the fruit of faith. By that word, he produces a harvest of new life and of righteousness and of zeal for the glory of God. And brothers and sisters, this is the mark of a true Christian. I think we need to be reminded of this in our day, that a true Christian will always bear this kind of fruit. See, I think sometimes we are so zealous to want to see the church grow and the kingdom of God advance that we're ready to think that anyone who expresses any interest in Jesus or God or comes to church at all, they must be a Christian. But brothers and sisters, we need to be reminded here that where there is no true fruit of repentance, where there is no true sorrow over sin, where there is no true desire to follow Christ, no true zeal for the glory of God, no true delight in the word of God, there can be no salvation. You cannot separate justification and sanctification. God saves by his sovereign grace so that we will bear fruit. God saves us. He plants his word in our heart to mold us into the very image of Christ and into the character of Christ, and this will be seen. God converts us not by giving us new information so that we know new facts about Jesus and about salvation. God converts us by giving us new life, and that life cannot be hidden. The fruit of it will always be seen. And what's interesting about what Jesus says at the end of this parable, and I close with this morning, Jesus says not only does the person who receives the word of God in the heart, hears it and accepts it, not only will they bear fruit, but Jesus makes it clear that there will be an abundant harvest. It will not be the same for each person. Jesus says it could be 30-fold, it could be 60-fold, it could be 100-fold. But what he makes clear is that the seed of God's word planted in the heart will produce an abundant harvest. And we may wonder at this, how can Jesus say this? What exactly does Jesus mean that the word of God can produce such a great harvest? But brothers and sisters, think about it this way. Think about the transformation that can come to a person who becomes a Christian. Think of all the good works that a true Christian can do throughout their entire life. A person who has truly come to know Christ, who has been transformed by the word of God. Think about all of the deeds that they will do throughout all of their life that reflect the character of Christ. And then think about this. Think about the fact that they will not only do these kind of good deeds to the glory of God throughout their entire life, they will do these good deeds to the glory of God for all eternity. And brothers and sisters, that is an abundant harvest. Or think about it this way. Think about the impact that a true Christian can have on the lives of others. You see, when the word of God truly takes root in us, what happens is we want to share it with others. The fruit of it is seen by everybody around us. And you see, when a Christian shares the gospel with someone else and they come to faith, you see, the harvest is multiplied. And when that person goes and does the same thing, when they take the gospel that they've received and they share it with somebody else, and that person comes to faith, you see, the harvest is multiplied even more. And in this way, you see, the word planted in one heart can produce a harvest in many, many lives. In fact, that harvest can become exponential, you see, as the gospel is spread from one person to another person to another person and to another person. And brothers and sisters, that's also an abundant harvest. Or think about it this way. Think about the effect that the word of God and the gospel can have on our families. We were able to spend Thanksgiving with my wife's family. And the story of her family is very interesting. Her grandparents were unbelievers. They didn't know the Lord, but they heard the gospel from a radio program. And because of that radio program, they decided to go to this evangelistic meeting that the guy on the radio was having. And they went to this meeting, and they came to know Christ. They were saved. And they taught that word, that gospel that they believed, they taught it to their children. And so my wife's father became a Christian because of this. And he taught his five children the word of God. And now those five children are teaching it to their children and to his grandchildren. And brothers and sisters, we sat on Thanksgiving Day around the table, three generations of my wife's family. I don't know how many there were, but I know we had to have four tables put end to end to seat all of us as we sat there. And her father sat at the head of the table, and even as we sat together, he shared the word of God with us. And three generations sat there, from the oldest to the youngest. Her father is 80 years in his 80s. The youngest child in the family is but an infant. And we sat and we heard the word of God together. Three generations of the fruit of God, the gospel being spread in that family. Brothers and sisters, that's an abundant harvest from one seed being planted. And brothers and sisters, this is what the word of God can do. This is what we need to believe. This is the power of the word. It is able to transform. It is able to change the very heart. It is able to give life. It is able to free you even from the power of hell. And the question I ask you this morning as we close is, has it transformed you? Is it still transforming you? Are you bearing this sort of fruit that Jesus talks about here? Do you believe in the power of the word of God? Do you see your need of it? Are you hungry for more of the harvest that the word of God can bring to your life? Think about this as we close. We have all heard the word today. The sower, the great sower, has sown his word right here in our midst today. Every one of us in this building, we can't deny it. We have heard the word of God today. What Jesus says, what Jesus teaches us, is that if you have ears to hear it, the very word that we have heard today, it can produce an abundant harvest. It can produce an abundant harvest in your life. It can produce an abundant harvest in the life of our church. A great harvest, Jesus says, even 30 times, 60 times, 100 times what was sown.